grace and peace to you. Welcome to the podcast, One A Day, where we talk about some part of a chapter of Scripture each day. This is April 16th, Acts chapter 16. Let's get to it. There are several amazing stories in this chapter. They all underscore the mysterious ways of the leading of God's Spirit. Hey, wouldn't you like to know unmistakably what the will of God is for you today? To know without a doubt that God sent you here, told you to say that, led you to do this. Not that it's easy. Remember how we must go through hardship to follow Jesus. But it can be certain, even if it's unconventional. Let's see about some of those unconventional things today. Paul and Silas begin their second missionary journey. They start by revisiting a couple of cities that they'd been to before. The churches were strengthened in their faith, and they grew in numbers day by day. They must be doing God's will then. So then they move on, but they're not sure which way to go. Being experienced in the ways of God, they did not wait to know all, or really any, of the details other than to head north. They travel for several days, not knowing where they are called to go, only knowing that they are not called to go to the province of Asia. Sometimes the will of God's not given as a green light, go here, do this, but rather as a red light. Don't go here. Don't do this. Somehow the Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching in Asia, so they kept moving, just not toward Asia. I'm guessing that Paul had it in his heart that Asia was, objectively speaking, the next logical place for them to go with the gospel. But though his heart might have been set on it, the door was shut, at least for Paul to be the one to go. So they kept moving, and now they came to another red light. Don't go there, north, anymore. So they were not to go east or north. And they'd come from the south, so west seems to be all that's left. So they head in that direction, go all the way to the coast, where there is nowhere left to go. So had the Spirit led them to this place? Has that ever happened to you? You've run out of options. Seems awkward, especially after all the signs and wonders he'd been doing through them to this point. But when the flow is not there, you don't try to push it. You just wait for clarity. And sure enough, that very night, Paul has a dream. A Macedonian man pleads with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So here's the amazing part. After that dream, it says, we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling them to preach the good news there. Well, several things about this. One, Paul has a short dream, and yet that's enough to know the call of God. Wow. Two, the others with Paul all conclude that God is also calling them to go with Paul to Macedonia, based on a dream that only one of their party had. No confirmation, no fleeces set out. It is not confirmed at the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just a quick decision for the whole group to go. And three, suddenly and subtly, Luke has shifted from talking about they to saying us. He has joined the group, even though he never mentions his own name here. Well, sure enough, they board a vessel, they set sail by faith, knowing only one word, Macedonia. They go, and they stay for a bit in the town of Philippi. And while there, they decide to go to the river, where they might find a prayer meeting going on among women. It's just guesswork, I think. So sure enough, there they are, which begs the question, was this the miraculous leading of God based on some prophecy, or was this simply strategy for finding people who might be spiritual enough to have an interest and to respond? And sure enough, whether by leading or by logic, they find a woman who responds to their message right away. And she and her household are all baptized. God is good. That's his will, right? Then it gets confusing again. They're doing their routine when they get spotted by a girl who has a spirit of divination. In other words, she sees things in the spiritual realm through the influence of demons inside her. She calls out truth, but it is truth that was revealed by demons. So Luke says that it irritates Paul until finally he casts out the demon. The girl is free at last. Well, that seems a bit odd to do deliverance out of irritation. That doesn't seem to be a mark of the Spirit of Jesus, but the result seems to show that this was God's leading, right? And yet it's the very thing that gets Paul and Silas stripped, beaten, and thrown into prison. Hold on, are we still on the same page with the Holy Spirit here? God's leading isn't confirmed by blessing this time, anyway. So what's going on now? Paul and Silas are undaunted by this turn of fortune. There, in spite of pain and open wounds, they pray and they sing psalms until midnight. It's a good thing they memorized those psalms, isn't it? hard to open your Bible when you're in stocks and chains. And the other prisoners are listening to their worship in the midst of trouble, earns them an earthquake. Ah! And the doors fly open and their chains fall off of all the prisoners. But no one escapes because they are captivated by the worship of these two innocent men in bad circumstances. In fact, the jailer gets converted because of all of them remaining, and he and his entire household are baptized that very night. Remember, it's after midnight by now. The bottom line application from all this, I don't know. How do you know you are in the right place following the leading of the Holy Spirit? It's not because your path is smooth. It's not just because of conversions. It's not because you found it in your Bible. But there is some secret, something mysterious and mystical. And Paul and Silas seem unwaveringly willing to follow Jesus wherever he leads. It's amazing. Red lights, green light dreams, increasing numbers, healing and deliverance, beating and arrest. It's all God's will. Just keep going or you will analyze yourself out of the Spirit toward death. May you sense the Lord's pleasure and leading today, and may you say yes to it. Amen.